Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and thank you so much for joining us as we begin another month, another Saturday, and another hour here, bringing you information that we hope you can use and put to good use. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We broadcast live, streaming live at richarddugan.com, and we also archive these programs at richarddugan.com. Today, our program is going to take a little bit of a political bent, but not in the direction that you might think. We're going to take a look at some ideas and some concepts from our guest today, who is here in the California area, actually up around Mill Valley. And he's been involved with a lot of things. And if I had time, it would take me the entire hour to go down the list of the various groups and organizations that they help to support. But my guest is a physician. He's a human ecologist. He's an artist. He's also the medical director of the San Francisco Medical Research Foundation, the director of the Global Peace Foundation. He is also the founder of the Light Party. His name is David, and I want to welcome you to our program. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Richard.
I do have to say that it took me, strangely enough, a week and a half before I looked at your name, and I'm going, wait a minute. If I take the space out, it's David, but you go by David.
Correct.
And why is that?
It's just my it's my legal name, and it's just what was given to me. Before it was Raphael, and then it's actually, I carry the name David Raphael. That's my artist's signature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what it is, David.
And we're also going to talk about something you've created called Arttainment.
Right.
And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Now, as a physician, I mean, we both could sit here and talk about the state of healthcare here in the United States. We deal on a regular basis on this program about the various, the wide and diverse number of modalities within the alternative health and wellness fields, if you will. Many people do subscribe to the philosophy that from time to time, it is necessary to go to orthodox traditional medicine,
right,
but not all the time. I mean, if I fall out of a tree and break my arm, guess where I'm going?
Yeah, an orthopedist.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if I just want to maintain my health, I want to make sure that this vessel, this vehicle, some people would even say this temple, I want to maintain it and keep it running as long as I can. I want to get 500,000 miles out of this vehicle, if you will.
Yeah, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to lean more towards the alternative health and wellness fields. Tell me about your path in that area, especially being the medical director of this institute, the San Francisco Medical Research Foundation.
Well, in the 70s, I wrote a book called the Medicine Today, Healing Tomorrow, which at the time was a very prophetic, forward-thinking, progressive book because it was a very in-depth analysis and critique on what you're talking about is the allopathic model, which we call scientific materialism, which is about surgery, drugs, symptomatic treatment of disease. And at that time, I used to joke, but not joke, I said I was a naturopath locked into an allopathic world. and I was very at odds with what was going on in my internship residency, and I actually pulled out of my residency for all kinds of reasons. A, basically because I was very opposed to what was going on as far as the use of drugs and what I considered to be tremendous abuse of power. I was in a psychiatric residency. And fortunately, I was given the San Francisco Medical Research Foundation, so I pulled out of the mainstream years and years ago, and I dedicated San Francisco Medical to bringing the holistic paradigm perspective, the wellness paradigm, into the mainstream, which something I've been involved with 30-plus years. At the time, in my book, I was talking about nutrition, the importance of exercise, sunlight, basic common-sense things, and that I also wrote in the book, I said, if we don't get into wellness and prevention, we're going to bankrupt the country, because the focus of the allopathic model is on disease.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we evolve more spiritually, we realize that there is a part of ourselves, our true self, is actually not only healthy, it's actually rooted in perfection, and so wellness is not something that, it's inherent within us, not only, necessarily perfection per se, but basically high quality of life. In other words, we don't have to break down and fall apart and have all these degenerative diseases in our 50s and 60s. And the mainstream medicine understands this now, that stress is a major cause of disease, and environmental toxicity, which is becoming more and more understood as a basic cause of a lot of diseases, is, you know, what it's about. So we were just getting back into common sense, the importance of exercise, attitude, clean water, and all this. And what I did was actually, out of that awareness, I started what was originally called the Human Ecology Party, because at that time, this was the early 80s, I realized that we were heading into a major environmental crisis, and I knew that a lot of the diseases that we were seeing were nutritionally based. And to the credit to the scientific community now, you know, a lot of the diseases, particularly in the area of orthomolecular medicine, know that we can treat a lot of these conditions very successfully through proper nutrition. So I built the whole, actually, political movement based on human ecology and a very, very strong emphasis on the protection of the environment, which now, today, you know, 30 years later, the environmental crisis, the environmental issue is fundamental, front and center. And all that is predicated on, you know, the use of fossil fuels and on and on and on. So we built a 7-point platform. Number one was Project Health. The strength of our nation is directly proportional to the health of our people. And then I have a corollary to that, and this is really the foundation of what is now the Light Party, that healthy soil creates healthy plants, and healthy plants create healthy people. So we're back to kind of basics, back to axiomatic truths. And, of course, we've been very, very, very supportive of the organic movement and, you know, very concerned about the whole GMO issue, which is one of the core issues. And there are many core issues. But basically, we're talking about how to protect the environment and the earth, which is critical to our own personal and planetary well-being, obviously.
Well, and of course, with what we've dealt with over what's now nearly 4 years of programming, one of the issues that we talk about is how everything is interconnected, and that you cannot make a change in one area of your life without it affecting all of the other areas of your life. And that also will apply to our environment around us and the people around us, the communities, the cities, the states,
absolutely,
the countries. The entire globe. We're beginning to see the realities of that, and hopefully not too late to where we can fix some of these things. We can correct them, if you will. So you have this political party. Is that how you term it?
Well, the Light Party is a holistic new political paradigm party dedicated to health, peace, and freedom for all. As what we say, it's a synthesis of the Democratic, Republican, Libertarian and Green Party. So we've kind of extracted, we built this very comprehensive, scientific, synergistic 7-point platform that addresses the core issues. One is Project Health, one is called Project Peace, one is called Project Light, which goes into the whole area of new alternative for clean energy systems. And we have what's called Economics, which takes a very in-depth look, which we can talk about, of the global economic structure,
yeah,
which is on everybody's minds these days, as we are battling our way out of a programmed, if you like, heavy-duty deep recession, and, of course, we can get into all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have the Artainment, which is really a beautiful part because of the whole Light Party, which is the artistic, poetic side of things, which is about bringing art and music, the power of art and music to, as I say, inspire, delight, heal, and enlighten. It really connects people to a deep spiritual place because if we just continue to focus on everything that is, in quotes, dysfunctional, then we become very overwhelmed and powerless. And, you know, that's kind of the thing to realize is that we're anything but powerless, because when we really tap into self, our true nature, the inner self, the Christ within, the God, Goddess within, that's infinite love, infinite wisdom, and infinite power. And that's what we're tapping into now. So with that understanding, we have the ability to reframe and re-vision not only our personal life, but our collective life. And that's really what's really going on, is how do we go from a fear-based duality matrix into a love-based, freedom-based world. And that's, you know, as I see, is the transformation in consciousness, what we're calling the ascension. And then we have our final piece, which is called the Global Peace Center, which is a beautiful vision which concerns itself with the transformation of Alcatraz Island into a global peace center. So, you know, the beauty of all of it is it's all based on, actually, we have a 7th point, which has to do with bringing back a participatory democracy in the United States, because I think we'd all agree, any conscious, aware people looking at the political structure know that right now we have more or less a, we can put it in quotes, benevolent plutocracy oligarchy that's running this country, that's fueled by Wall Street with lobbyists and special interest groups that basically call the shots.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we're serious about reclaiming a democracy, then we have to have direct financing of elections and get rid of the Electoral College. I mean, there are many things that need to be done to really create a participatory democracy and, return to a genuine republic. And, of course, many people are aware of this. And because people feel that it's a stacked system, that a lot of people have become, you know, very disinterested in mainstream politics because they don't think they can really change it, or there's very little we can do because it's really become a game of the rich, for the rich, and by the rich.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that a lot of folks that I've talked with are certainly feeling disenfranchised to the extent that they've taken the position that, you know, why should I waste and extend my energies into something that is not beneficial for myself and my community? I'm going to focus on my community. I'm going to put my energies into those things I know that I can have an impact on. And,
right.
You know, and I don't necessarily see anything really wrong with that. You know, that's kind of a good thing. And as a matter of fact, it appears that due to recent events over the last few years, that going back to a locally based type of system, if you will, works better, because a lot of the problems that we have today have to do with a lot of these global corporate monoliths,
right,
that they said could never fail and did. And it took a lot of people down with them. It hurt a lot of people.
That's an understatement.
You know. So let me ask you to go back a little further. How did you get started in all of this? What was the catalyst that drove you into this direction? Obviously, you know, you were a physician, but you must have had some leanings somewhere before all of this.
Well, that's a very good question. San Francisco Medical actually completed a lot of its work at the time when we were out pushing nutrition, chiropractic, acupuncture. There reached a certain point where I didn't feel I needed to talk about these anymore because it was becoming more and more mainstream. But the big issue, what I was guided to do, and this really came from an internal guidance place, was that we had to bring the holistic paradigm into the political arena. And I spent years pretty much in isolation, living in a little A-frame in Mill Valley. And that's when I put the Light Party together. Actually, I ran for president in 92, 94.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed up in New Hampshire. And our whole goal there was, obviously, I wasn't going to get elected. Clinton was running. Jerry Brown was running. Was to be able to begin to insert some of our, what I consider to be, you know, very simple ideas, powerful ideas, into the mainstream for consideration. But I always knew at the bottom of this, that this healthcare issue, until we begin to get into insurance companies beginning to support the acupuncturists, beginning to understand that it was into everybody's interest, that creating a society where wellness is understood and as the bottom line, that healthy people creates a healthy society, and that is all predicated on clean water, clean air, and healthy food, that message needs to be hammered away. But at the same time, as you're well aware, I'm sure you are, that the pharmaceutical companies basically took over the medical schools.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these very powerful corporations, pharmaceuticals, which are actually bigger than the military. So basically what the Light Party is about, it's, you can call it an alchemical process, if you like, is how do we decentralize the medical, military, industrial complex?
Mm-hmm.
So I understood this on a very core level because I saw how everything was related, and that as long as people were not aware of the fact that wellness and health is really a natural birthright and that we can actualize that for ourselves and move off the dependency on the symptomatic treatment of and the heavy misuse of drugs, that, you know, until we started doing this, you know, we're heading down the tubes. Because most of the drugs that are out there that are being pushed by the pharmaceutical companies are very expensive. Most of them are ineffective. Now, if any doctors are listening, I would alert them to read the physician's desk reference or the medical letter. And most doctors know this implicitly. But, you know, you've got so much money at stake here. The pharmaceutical companies, to bring a new drug online, do you have any idea what it costs to bring a new drug online? I mean, it's astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what
that is? Oh, I mean, it's millions of dollars.
No, millions. It's hundreds of millions of dollars. Hundreds of millions. So I kind of see the pharmaceutical companies like Hollywood. They have to come with the blockbuster drugs, to pay for the for all the research and development. I mean, there's a phenomenal amount of money, as I said, to bring a drug online, and most of these drugs are kept off the market. But there's tremendous pressure being put on the FDA and on politicians to bring these drugs online because, you know, you're talking about corporations in business for the purpose of making, you know, for making money. A lot of the drug testing, for example, now is being done in a very stealth way overseas in third world countries. So there's a tremendous amount of corruption in the whole system. In fact, the whole system is corrupt to the core because it just is, because it's based on a paradigm that's unsustainable. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're seeing an economic and ecological collapse. And it's good that this is collapsing because, A, it's unsustainable, it's inevitable, and what will happen in this interim period is new ideas can take hold, because what is most people interested in besides, you know, is their health?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, the first thing anybody says, how are you?
Yes, exactly.
You know, one in three people in this country are basically slotted to get cancer. I mean, it's catastrophic, it's epidemic. You know, you just look at the statistics, the amount of heart disease, the amount of cancer, the amount of this, the amount of that. It's epidemic. Why? People are not eating well, they're not exercising, and unfortunately, they buy into the epidemic of negativity, you know, from the news, the newspapers. So there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of misinformation, and everybody's competing to try to get your dollar and your attention. So, you know, we're looking for a way out, and the way out is to simplify, simplify, simplify. So we have I've written a book, which people get when they actually join the Light Party, become a member. It's called the Human Ecology Program, which is a comprehensive health maintenance and rejuvenation process. And it's Holistic Health 101, and it's an integration of the best of, suggestions of nutrition, spiritual protocols, understanding how the subconscious mind works, and that's why we do a lot of our healing with music and imagery, you know, the artainment. These aren't just pretty pictures. They activate and actualize within yourself spiritual awareness, creativity, and most importantly, understanding oneness and the integration, understanding how everything truly is connected. And more importantly, understanding that consciousness, which is what we are and what is infinite in its potentiality. So when we realize that consciousness is infinite in its potentiality, and we are that, well, ipso facto, so are we, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So therein lies the whole hope and vision. We're moving beyond hope, you know, President Obama, hope, into actualization, claiming our power, reclaiming our power, revisioning our world, and, of course, you always start with who? Yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first rule of survival training is take care of number one, because if you don't, you can't help 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the wonderful thing about the times we're in, it's sort of a double-edged sword, is that we have the information, we have the knowledge. I mean, what we've done is we've coalesced a lot of information into a kind of one-stop shopping. I mean, we have a whole section on what we call Project Light, which illustrates and categorizes all the tremendous breakthroughs that are happening on new energy technologies, from more of the mundane things like solar to wind to so on and so forth, but to things like zero-point energy and cold fusion, which is coming around the corner. And then we get into even more esoteric things. But the fundamental position of the Light Party is that all the power that ever was or will be is here now. And what we are working our way out of is an oil-based monolithic energy system based on oil, which is primarily responsible for the massive ecological damage on the planet. And corollary to that is the fact that we're spending $800, $900 billion a year on, in quotes, defense, which is really about protecting what is called Americans, you know, American interests, which, you know, translates into one word, oil.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as we're tethered to an oil-based world, which is based on finite resources, which is primarily responsible for, you know, massive pollution and ill health on the planet, and most people are probably not even aware of the fact that most of our agriculture is based on oil. Are you aware of that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you're basically dealing with a dead element, and the fact is, this is like this is something we emphasize over and over and over again. I'm speaking as a physician. The key to good health, biological cellular health, is an oxygenated and well mineralized blood. Now, if you look at soil that has been, you know, treated with an oil-based fertilizer, the soil has been burned and denuded. Anybody who knows anything understands this implicitly. That's why it's so important about organic farming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a fantastic magazine, which is like for me a Bible, called Acres USA, which is training farmers all over the United States on how to remineralize and heal the soil. Because that's the foundation not only of our health, but it's the foundation of our wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a very, very strong... And the good news is there's lots of products out there available now where you can remineralize your blood and, you know, get your electrochemical and biochemical balance. But if you don't have the trace minerals and you don't have the micronutrients, you don't have the energy for your cells to function properly, and just extend that out. If you don't have energy, then you have disease and you have sickness. So mm-hmm. that's the bottom line.
I have also heard it said, too, that one of the key stressors, that if there was a way to eliminate it, would take care of a majority of the health conditions in this world and in this country in particular, and that is money. That if we could do away with the monetary system and come up with another way, that you would literally alleviate 99% of the stressors and disease creators or diseasers that are out there today. Now, I don't know the solution.
Yeah.
I've talked with some people who claim to have a solution to it, and fascinating stuff. As we continue, we'll take a quick break here, David.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the Light Party's attention on some very good new potential economic suggestions in that regard.
Well, let's deal with that when we come back. I'm Richard Dugan, Paradigms for a New World, and we'll be right back.
Tell me your story.
I'm Richard Dugan, your host. I'm here with David. He is the founder of the Light Party, and he has other accolades, and they're working with a lot of other organizations around the world to make a difference in this world, and we certainly encourage you to check out his website, and we're going to give you that information here in just a couple of moments. But just a reminder that we do come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and we do archive these programs, and we also have links to our guests' websites, if indeed they have, and 99.9% of our guests do have websites, and the website I want you to go to check out the information is lightparty.com. That's lightparty.com. We're talking with the founder of the Light Party, David, and we are discussing the seven-point system, if you will, or plan for the Light Party, dealing with Project Health, Economic Reform, Project Light, Global Peace Center, Artainment, hopefully we'll have time to get into that, the Peace Project, and at the core of it all, the National Institute for Democracy. Now, before we took our break, I had made the comment about how the biggest stressor to humans seems to be the issue of money, either not having enough, having way too much debt, and not finding any way to get out from under it. And we could go into all of the institutes and systems that are out there that some would say keep us enslaved. That's really what some people see the monetary system as today, the economic system as today, and that there has to be a way out of this, that if we eliminated that whole system and came up with another way to exchange with one another, that it would just change the health and wellness of the human being almost overnight. And you and the Light Party have some suggestions in that light.
Indeed. Well, it's such a critical issue, global economics, because as you know, we're in a global economy, whether we like it or not, and multinational corporations wield tremendous power, and you have a centralized banking system, a global banking system, you know, under the G8 and the IMF and the World Bank, which pretty much calls the shots. So what you have right now is a tremendous hierarchical, and you can call it maybe a patriarchal economic system, that where there's a tremendous concentration and centralization of power. The fundamental point of the Light Party is, how do we decentralize power? How do we decentralize energy? And money is really energy. So we're in a transitional phase. One of the things that it actually came very close to, actually, if we're going to look at debt, you know, on a national or global level, everybody's walking around, apparently, particularly on a nation's level, in debt. Now, this gentleman, and I'd urge everybody to look this up, it's called the Tobin tax. We're calling it a Tobin financial transaction tax. This is a gentleman, a Yale economist, who basically suggested, and this is way, way before things got even hotter as far as currency trade, he suggested a tenth of a percent tax. We call it a financial surcharge or financial transaction tax on currency trade. Every day, this is where all the action is, there's trillions of dollars being traded, bet on the currency trades. You're aware of that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
This is where all the action is, what the banks do, the corporations. They have these people sitting on computers and they make micro trades, the currency going up, currency going. They bet on currency movements.
Right.
Now, what he was suggesting is a tenth of a percent, which would raise at that time $200 to $300 billion. The Light Party is suggesting a 1% Tobin tax, which would raise, and these numbers have been substantiated, somewhere between $2 to $3 trillion would be pulled out of the global casino. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of feel 1% on financial transaction tax on all this currency trade. In other words, there's a trade, and whatever is made, a 1% taxes. The amount of trading is so enormous. So just think about this with an enlightened IMF or World Bank, and there'll be a lot of people out there go, oh, my God, this sounds like, you know, one world government. Well, the fact is we are in one world, and we do have a one global economic system. Now, this is just one idea that we're putting out, but it's a fundamental point of the whole Light Party. That money, which is trillions of dollars, would go into the IMF, and it could basically, if you've studied the UN position, we as human beings have a fundamental right to take care of every other human being's fundamental needs, which means clean water, clean air, food, et cetera. As you're well aware, three-quarters or two-thirds or whatever the numbers are of the vast majority of human beings on planet Earth are living on, what, a dollar or two a day?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah. So I think it's, you know, incumbent upon all of us, this situation has to rectify. Now, there's another point is, according to the studies that I've made, is that the GNP, the gross national product, this is so interesting because we're really talking about redistribution of wealth. And 1% Tobin tax is not going to threaten anybody. That's nothing. But the GNP of the Earth herself, Gaia, which is a living, sentient being, has been estimated at $33 trillion. In other words, the Earth, through the water, through the fish, through the forest, through the animal products, through the this, through the that, actually generates this phenomenal amount of wealth, correct?
Well, I was going to ask you to clarify. Are you saying that the planet has been valued at, or
yes,
its productivity?
Yes, at $33 trillion.
Really?
Yeah, somebody crunched some numbers.
And so I'm curious, so how much is a human life worth?
Well, a human life is priceless.
Yeah, I would think that the planet would be just as priceless. But I do understand where this person's going and what you're talking about. So
yeah,
you're
so
talking about
$33 trillion.
There's
an illusion of scarcity. Yeah. See, the illusion is that there's scarcity.
Yeah.
But again, back to, and this is what we're awakening to.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're not only citizens of planet Earth, but we're citizens of the cosmos.
Yeah.
And again, we're back to consciousness. Now, consciousness is infinite. So we've been playing this game of, based on fear and limitation, that there's not enough to go around.
Yeah,
you know that scarcity creates competition, which is basically the result why you have nations warring against nations. I mean, this nonsense that we're in Afghanistan to get rid of Bin Laden, who I, you know, won't get into it, but I'm sure he's been out of the picture for probably 10 years. But that's a whole other, or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in Afghanistan basically to try to gain control of that country because they want to put an oil pipeline through there. There's also who is going to control and regulate the drug trade. So, you know, American foreign policy to this point can be summarized in, I call it a mafia economy, in one word. It's all about God, G-O-D,
mm-hmm.
guns, oil, and drugs.
Mm. Yeah. Well, now
the planet spends, you know, the nations spend over $1 trillion a year on weapons of mass destruction, okay? Mm. So, you know, we've got this massive military that's selling weapons here and there, and, you know, it's just the current state of the situation.
Yeah.
A Tobin tax would actually free up a phenomenal amount of energy. These monies could be put into an IMF, International Monetary, could be put into a World Bank for sustainable projects, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy named Tom Hartman. I'm sure you know who he is,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Tom is really good. He's very brilliant, you know, and he's looking at things from an economic perspective, as we all are these days. And he's saying having what we'd call an internal Tobin tax, which was a 25-cent financial transaction tax on stock trades. Well, he said that would raise $200-300 billion a year for the government. Well, just imagine, if you will, Richard, that we had a windfall of $300 billion, and here in California, what's the debt? What, $11-12 billion?
Yeah, exactly.
So just think about it. This money could flow to the states who are all running major deficits,
mm-hmm.
and you'd be able to pay for the, you know, fire the school teachers and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, when you look at this thing, it's so simple, it boggles one's mind, mind particularly, that these things have not been implemented.
Well,
so what we're here to do is, you know, bang the drum and say, hey, take a look at this, folks. You know, this is win-win. Now, the one thing that the Tea Party, because, see, you know, my position is I analyze lots of stuff. You know, I'm looking for the best ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever works, you know.
Exactly.
Wisdom, you know, let's not get ideological. Let's look for solutions, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, the Tea Party, to their credit, and they're very, in quotes, libertarian-minded, they're in support of what we support. It's called the Fair Tax.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brilliant new tax reform program. I support it 100%. It's part of our platform.
Mm-hmm.
We're also calling for the reinstitution of tariffs. But behind all of this, and this is the sine qua non of the Light Party, see, I believe as our consciousness changes and we move into higher dimensions of awareness, what I really believe that we are heading into a golden age, seventh golden age. And as that happens, as this process, we are going to be bequeathed, because we're going to call it forth and we're going to claim it because it's theirs for the asking, that we will have a new energy matrix on the planet. And it will be run on clean, sustainable energy. As that happens and when that happens, the cost of everything will come down markedly, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's where we're going.
Yeah. You know, and when you talk about sustainability, I remember hearing, and this was like 15 or 20 years ago, I remember hearing a conversation on a program that was discussing the supply of fresh water on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And the comment, of course, is always made that, you know, we're running out of fresh water. And the comment or the reply to this individual was, number one, that's not true. And number two, there always has been and always will be exactly the same amount of H2O on the planet in its various forms as there was when the Earth was formed and water appeared on the planet. The water we've never seen water leave the planet. And
hold that thought, because I'm going to add something incredible to what you're saying.
Okay.
Carry on.
All right. So when I started looking at that comment, the little discourse there, I began wondering, okay, if it is indeed true, as I do tend to agree, that there's more than enough on the planet for everyone, including the entire 7 billion population as it grows, it's the distribution issue that's
correct.
The problem. I started looking at the water issue and thinking, okay, where do we normally get our fresh water from? Well, we certainly don't get it from the oceans unless we have a desal plant. Not everybody has one along the coastline.
Right.
So that means that we get the fresh water from where? The rains and the snow. That come down.
Of course.
And if we just collected it, I mean, we've seen right. the reports just this past winter, 2010, 2011, mm-hmm. the massive snowfalls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, there are logistics issues regarding the collecting of the snow in terms of taking it to, you know, collecting it and taking it wherever it needs to be taken to process and make it available for human consumption. But in essence, snow coming out of the sky, for the most part, as is with rain, is fresh water.
Well, of course.
The minerals aren't in it because they're too heavy. And so I've come up with a small personal rain harvesting device that anybody could put up in their front or backyard right. when it rains, and you could collect. And I remember 5 years ago, 4 years ago when we moved up here and we had a weeks-long rainfall. I mean, it was coming down torrentially here in Central California. And I had this small pan sitting out, and we had it for the turkeys on the property where we happened to live. And I says, you know, I've always heard that rainwater was really good. So I picked up this pan that had been sitting out there in the rain, and I took a drink of this stuff and couldn't stop. It was just unbelievable because it's ionized. It's charged. So that's my perspective is that there's plenty.
Well, there's important about water. You know, the symbol of the Aquarian Age is the water bearer. Right?
Yes.
You know, we're moving into the – now, this information was given to me years ago, and it was actually substantiated. I forgot who the scientist. I think it was at Iowa State. And this information, which I found to be in looking at it on a much deeper level about not only planetary ecosystems but solar system ecosystems and galactic ecosystems, just sit down and listen to this one. This is really mind-blowing. It's been substantiated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we say that, you know, all the water that's ever been on this planet is sort of a consistent quantity.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists, there was a gentleman who was, it was Iowa or Kansas State. He was an astrophysicist. And anyway, they were looking at what they thought were artifacts in space with all these photographs they were taking, you know, looking at stars and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there were all these artifacts that were coming up in these pictures. And this guy said, those aren't artifacts. He said, that's water. Anyway, he came to the understanding that a tremendous amount of water is coming into the atmosphere of planet Earth from space.
Really?
Yes. I met a guy at a New Living Expo in April, and we got into the conversation because he's all about water, and he absolutely said, Davi, that's absolutely, because we got into talking about water, and he said, that's absolutely true. Water is coming onto this planet from space. Now, that's a tremendous concept. That means that we are part of an ecological system, because this is a water planet, that water is being recycled not only on the planet, but it's being recycled extraterrestrially.
Now, is this actual water or is this ice?
Water.
It is actually okay.
Water. Now, there's an article I don't have access to, so I didn't know we were going to actually get into the water story, but I have it on my website, and mm-hmm. it's been substantiated. Now, the thing to understand is that we all understand about ecology, but we're not just involved in a terrestrial ecology because it's all one consciousness. There's obviously our planet is part of an even greater ecosystem, and you might say that the powers that be, or the way the universe is set up, is that it is supporting,
mm-hmm.
in the most incredible, super intelligent way, the evolution of consciousness on this planet. And what's more important than water?
Yeah,
it's the body. And of course, you're well aware of Emoto, and there's all these new awarenesses about how water is programmable.
Yes,
and water holds memory,
mm-hmm.
and we can enliven water, and we can change the vibration and frequency
yeah.
of water. We can change. Now, a lot of people are into this, and I am one of them. So water is a very, very, very precious fluid,
yeah.
obviously, since we're basically all water, at least, you know, our bodies are.
Yeah.
We're basically waters and minerals. You know, we're kind of spooks, actually.
This is true.
And there's much more space than there is solidity. But what's really happening, as you're aware, is our vibrations are changing.
Yeah.
Now, when you approach water with a level of with consciousness, and you realize what it is and that it's a living crystal. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Water is a living crystal. It's a liquid. It's a crystal.
Right.
Well, our body is a crystal.
Right.
And crystals, what do crystals do?
They
receive and conduct energy.
Right. They exchange energy.
Yeah. And what we're really composed of when you're in the final analysis is sunlight, is light.
Yeah.
So we are light beings. We are dense light beings. Dense. And we are actually lightening up.
Right.
Our vibrations, and that's what the ascension is about. But water is an incredible key for the ascension process on a biological level.
Wow.
Couldn't be simpler.
You know,
God, the universe, whoever, didn't make it complicated, made it really simple. But the fun of it is when you start looking into this, you realize how simple it is. And that because our minds are so full of, you know, distractions and complications, you know, we're back to sunlight, water, you know, these same principles, healthy food, you know, under consumption.
Exactly.
That's the key, is the simplification of our lives. I'll give you another key. You know, I'm speaking as, you know, doctor scientist, because I'm a big nature guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I admit it. I hug trees. I hug redwoods. I walk in the red. I absolutely have a deep love for the redwood trees. I love the redwoods,
mm-hmm.
and they love me.
Absolutely.
And they're magnificent, mighty beings, and they're incredibly beautiful, and they radiate an amazing energy.
Right.
Now, these doctors, God bless them, wrote a book called Earthing. And the book is called Earthing, Perhaps the Greatest Health Secret of All Time, They've done the science that they said one of the most powerful things you can do for healing, and they listed all these ailments that you can do, is take off your shoes and lie on the earth in grass. Remember a guy named Edmond Bordeaux Sicily?
Name's familiar.
He wrote the Essene Gospels of Peace. He got this information from the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was way ahead of it. I read his books ages ago. Well, I've always been one to lie on the earth, but I found this incredible spot in southern Marin. The grass is really thick, okay,
mm-hmm.
Richard?
Right.
Yesterday I was coming back over the bridge in San Francisco. I was with a friend. And I said, let's do the grass trip today. We're coming in from... Anyway, we lie out on the grass, hold the crystal.
Right.
You just breathe. You go into an immediate, not alpha state. You go into a theta state. You go into the most profound meditation, you go into a state of bliss.
Hmm.
You're connecting with the Earth Mother energies.
Wow.
And she just she's pumping this, you know, because we walk around with shoes and we're not getting the electromagnetic flow from the Earth herself because we've become so technological.
You
just do it and you will experience the deepest meditational experience. Your right and left hemisphere, because you're connecting with the Earth element. You're connecting with this powerful battery.
Right.
And it's a pure experience.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, I get a kick out of it because, you know, the scientists are like explaining why it all is, which is great.
Well, it is certainly something that is encouraged by many of our guests, that when you're going through whatever stressors or what have you in your life,
connect
back with nature. That's
right.
The bottom line. We're just about out of time. I want to remind our listeners that they can go to lightparty.com. That's lightparty.com and check out
David. And please check out our artainment if you really want to see some of those beautiful art.
Folks, I have seen it. I've gone full screen, okay, on these things. They really are spectacular. They really are. So check it out. And we're linked to them at richarddugan.com. David, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program, and I hope that we will stay in touch with you and just kind of giving from time to time we'll get back together with you and get an update on what's going on with the Light Party.
Well, thank you so much.
And before I let you go, I'm going to ask you a question that I ask almost all of my guests at least once when they're on the program. With all that's going on and all that you've done, why this and why now in the next minute or so?
Well, my own belief is that we're actually in the process of a tremendous spiritual awakening. And as we awaken to the truth of who we are, we're going to co-create a new world that's rooted in health and beauty, peace, prosperity, and freedom. And that's the divine will. And that's our divine will. And that's an amen to that.
Absolutely. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to staying in touch with you.
Thank you, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us here on Tell Me Your Story. Stay with us as we continue bringing these programs to you every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and we stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. And until next Saturday at this time, love Talal.